This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
It's Creature Feature, a spotlight on one of the Wildlife Hospital Dunedin's extra special guests.
Jordana White joins us again to take a look into the work of the Dunedin Wildlife Hospital and the important guests that spend a little bit of time there. Kia ora, Jordana. Nice to have you with us again.
Morena. Always good to be here.
So who are we going to talk about today?
We're talking about another new species for the Wildlife Hospital and therefore a new species to Creature Feature. We've done it again. This one's a classic flightless New Zealand bird and one that causes controversy wherever it roams. It's a weka.
Ah.
Yes. So also known as a woodhen, but a woodhen, according to your favorite great-grandparent. I'd never heard anybody call it a woodhen before, but you know what a weka is, right?
I do. I'm one of the Dunedin people who spotted them very early.
Oh, I'm very excited to hear this. We'll talk about, I want to hear more about that.
Yes.
We'll come to that because that's a very interesting story that I don't know that much about. So I want to hear more about that. This is not a Dunedin weka.
Okay.
Okay. So this one came to us from Fiordland. But just to backtrack for a moment, for those of you who maybe don't know, weka is one of our flightless rail species. I say it's a large rail species. They get up to about 1,400 grams, or if you want to look at it differently, 350 individual squares of Whitaker's Hokey Pokey block. The Creature Feature is not sponsored by Whitaker's, but it probably should be based on how much I consume. But this particular weka was only about 196 squares of Hokey Pokey block. So it was pretty skinny for its size. And that was because it was injured. We've talked about a couple of other rail species on the Creature Feature. So we've talked about Takahe and Pukeko. So those are both rails. But the weka is not blue like those two. Of course, it's generally brown and it has some sort of black through its feathers. Apparently there can actually be quite a range of colors. So I have seen some quite darker ones that are almost black. And then I've seen sort of the brown ones. This one was a brown, sort of a classic, in my opinion, classic brown. Mm. But they also can be quite gray. It sort of depends on a few things, I guess, where they're from is part of it. And they have sort of like stout brownish pink legs. It got those really sturdy legs, sort of like a kiwi. And they have red eyes, which is quite distinctive, and a sort of a pointy bill. I used to call them chucks when I first moved to New Zealand because they look a little bit like a cross between a chicken and a duck.
They do look it. That's a good description.
Yes. So often I will just refer to them as chucks. But I think they move kind of like a chicken, but they're a little bit duck shaped. So they don't really look exactly like either one of them.
Oh, and they can move faster than a chicken, Jordana.
Oh, man. Listen, we're going to talk about that. No, there's no quote. You are dead right about that. I was thinking, and I know I have had not this exact experience, but I think there's probably a lot of international tourists who think they're having like this magical moment by seeing a kiwi. And they're not expecting to see kiwi, and they've seen several of them, and it's probably really that they're just seeing weka.
Yeah.
You can see why, you know, somebody who's not as familiar and just catches a glimpse of them or something running across the road that they might think it's a kiwi. And I think we should just let them have
that. Yeah, why burst their
bubble? Just let them have that. That's okay. There are four subspecies of weka, which many people may not know. So there's the North Island version, which, you know, we're not here to talk about the North Island. Western, Stewart Island, and Buff weka. Western weka is mostly what we have on the South Island and a couple of other places. But the different subspecies have different threat level classifications. Some of them are considered threatened. The Western, which is what our patient was, is not considered threatened. So it's considered of least concern or not threatened. So what would you consider weka being famous for?
Stealing my lunch.
Yes, that's exactly right. I was going to be a little bit gentler about it. They're known for being bold, curious, and unafraid, mm-hmm. right? Which all means...
That was my experience.
Yep. That means them being absolutely unapologetic food opportunists. I'm saying opportunists and not thieves, but they are thieves indeed. And I said most New Zealanders will have a weka story. So what's your weka story?
Well, I have two weka stories.
Okay.
So Queen Charlotte walkway and a beautiful experience around lots of weka, and we had just settled at the beach for lunch and had my packed lunch already and just sort of laying it out on the log that I was sitting on mm-hmm. beside me, just sorting myself out basically, and pew, gone.
All of it?
Unfortunately.
The best part of it?
Unfortunately, the wrapper and all, which I was a little bit scared about because it was in a plastic bag.
Yeah.
But yeah, took the role, and I just shot up out of my seated position and started chasing it. That was a completely futile experience. This thing just shot straight back into the bush at a rate of knots that surprised me.
I wonder if that's part of their entertainment for them as well. They're like, let's see if I can get this one to chase me.
Oh, totally.
There's no chance.
Totally. Fortunately, my companions were prepared to share their lunch with me because,
probably because we've all had that happen to us. In fact, I had almost that exact same thing happen on the Queen Charlotte track. I had one take an apple right out of my hand. And I want to say it was not on offer. Like, I was not trying to feed the Weka. I didn't know it was there.
Right.
And I was just sitting there, like, gazing out into the beautiful scenery. And all of a sudden, I had an apple snatched out of my hand. I was quick like and grabbed it back, so I got back, but I didn't have to chase it. It just, like, my instinct, I don't know what that says about me, my instinct is just to grab at the at the bird, I don't know, but I did get it back. I did, you know, no bird was harmed, apple slightly harmed, but it was okay.
So that's my first Weka story.
Okay.
And you do see plenty in those walkways at the top of the South Island, and it's great, it's wonderful to see them. But yeah, there have been, as you've probably heard, a number of sightings of Weka locally.
Yes.
And for a while it was starting to make the news because this is an unusual thing and all sorts of accusations about students bringing them down and all this kind of stuff. You know, I don't know about that. However they got here, they are here, and Doc is spotting them reasonably regularly now, or at least people are reporting them reasonably regularly. My experience was waking up one kind of drizzly Saturday morning and my dear wife pulling back the curtains and saying, come and have a look at this. And there out on the deck, just outside the bedroom, was a Weka.
At your house?
At our house. And so I grabbed the camera. Now, I don't want to – it's early in the morning, right? But listeners, I wasn't well dressed. Let me just put it that way. But I was keen to capture this moment. And so I stepped outside, and the Weka, not particularly scared of humans.
Classic.
I don't know whether that's a good thing or not, but just made its way around the property with me following it behind, taking video and taking photos and what have you, which I duly submitted to the Otago Daily Times, and it was reported that day. I'm just showing Jordana now the Weka.
In fact, I have seen this photo.
Right. Yep. That's my photo.
Yeah, didn't realize that.
I won't show you all of the video because there's some reflections on the car that you don't want to see.
Your neighbors are still telling that story.
Well, fortunately, it was early enough in the day they weren't up and around.
Okay.
But okay, and this followed other reports in Northeast Valley of Weka being spotted around there.
Yeah.
And I've subsequently spoken to someone from DOC who's collecting all of these sightings. And, it does seem that it's various places around Dunedin. There are now some Weka established.
That's right. A friend of mine was walking at Second Beach in St. Clair early morning as well. So that's in St. Clair. She definitely knows what a Weka is, much like you. She's had plenty of experiences. She's a conservationist. She's a scientist. So she knows what a Weka looks like. So she saw it at Second Beach and she went, oh, that's the Dunedin Weka. I didn't realize it was like on this side of town. And apparently that same morning at roughly the same, you know, maybe a little bit later, there were two Weka in Northeast Valley that were seen. So that's completely opposite ends of town. So there's no way they can boost, but they're not going that far or that fast. So there are a few of them around. It's really interesting, isn't it? I would really like to know the origin story. I don't know if people are doing it on purpose, or we saw in the news there was one that ended up in Christchurch because it had accidentally stowed away in someone's car that had been camping out on the West Coast. That Weka was returned back to the West Coast, but that was an accident and they reported it straight away. So you could see that could happen. I mean, they are curious. They are really smart. And they're not afraid to engage with their surroundings, which is, in fact, exactly why they're taking things from trampers. It's not even necessarily about food, although it often is about food, but they're interested in lots of different things. They're similar to Kia, and they have that kind of the neophilia, which is they're really interested in new things. They're quite attracted to new things. But the difference is they grab first and then investigate later. Mm. So they're not sticking around to check out the thing because that could be dangerous for them. So they're grabbing the thing, they're boosting into the bush, and then they're investigating it. So it may not be that they even ate your lunch. But I appreciate you're worried about the wrapper, and I would worry about that as well. You don't want that in the environment anyway. But probably if the Weka was having that lunch, it's they're very intelligent. So it probably shredded that plastic to get to your lunch, so I wouldn't stress about it too much.
Okay.
I think it lived to thieve another day, I guess is what I'm getting at. Yeah, I think one of the reasons that I like them a lot is because they're so smart and cheeky. It's the reason I like Kia. I think they're really cool. But this behavior that I just described, where they like to grab things in first and then investigate later, it means that their hangout areas or their nests tend to get quite cluttered with all of their little prizes. In fact, in Tereo, there's if you call something a kohang aweka or a weka's nest, it's referring to something that's messy or disheveled. So I love this phrase, kohang aweka. So I'm definitely going to use that. I think, unfortunately, that applies to certain parts of my house. But I do have one more. I swear we're going to get to this patient.
Yes.
But I do have one more story I have to tell you. Yeah. It is hospital related. So this is a colleague of mine from the hospital. She shall remain nameless. I'm anonymizing this. But she went to the Old Ghost Road, which is a biking trip. And she loves pastry, and she had stopped at a bakery and gotten her favorite pastry to reward herself at the top of the hill, which was a ginger crunch slice. And she had stopped off at a hut or went to go inside or used to do something, and she leaned her bike up against a tree, as you do, and she kind of did a check on her bike. Yep, everything's secure, all good. Went inside and came back out, and Aweka had unzipped her bike bag, because they have definitely learned how to unzip backpacks and bags, so that's a known thing, but she didn't know that. So it had unzipped her bag, grabbed her ginger crunch, and boosted with it. And she was so angry. She was so offended. She's like, I am getting my ginger crunch back. And of course, she's a wildlife vet, so she knows the ecology and she knows the behaviors of these birds somewhat. So she knew that she might have a chance of finding its kohango so that she could find its her ginger crunch if it hadn't already consumed it. So sure enough, she went in to the bush to try to find this weka. And after about, I don't know, 5 to 10 minutes of searching, sure enough, she found its lair. Not only did she find and retrieve her unscathed ginger crunch, but she also found a whole bunch of muesli bars and other snacks and $25 in cash. So not only did she get her pastry back, but she made money off the deal. So who knows? You know, I feel like this is a missed opportunity. There are probably passports in there and some other, you know, great prizes that she had kept rooting around. But yeah.
So they're magpies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And I just find it so charming. I love it so much. But in this, yeah, as you have so astutely pointed out, these are fast creatures, right? You can go after them, but they're just super fast. So the best thing to do is probably exactly what my workmate did, which is just wait 5 minutes and then go in like 10, 20 meters into the bush to see if you can retrieve your items, because they don't go that far after they've explored it. Now, this one, I have to wonder, this patient that we had here from Fjordland, you go, how do you get an injured weka? Like, how do you do that? They're so fast. In this case, the reason that they were able to catch it is because it did, in fact, have a leg injury. It wasn't putting weight on its leg. And so they had to watch it for a few days. There was the rangers tried to catch it for a few days, but they did manage to, and actually had a broken leg. So which is pretty serious. So we think probably it was hit by a car, but unsure. And it had actually had sort of a callus over the fracture, which means that it was starting to heal, and it was actually healing fairly well on its own. So thankfully that meant that we could just splint it and bandage it and support it while it was while that bone was setting. So thankfully it wasn't too much of an intervention. Obviously pain relief is the main thing we do with our patients. It was, as you can imagine, an extremely good eater in hospital. I mean, we have some patients, like we have four kiwi at the moment, and they don't like to eat while they're in hospital. But a weka will throw down on some food, and it pretty much ate everything we offered it. They are omnivorous in the wild, so they are opportunists, not just with trampers' lunches, but everything. So they eat a lot of invertebrates. They will eat some fruits and berries, but they will also take things like stoats and rats and even birds that are bigger than them.
Wow.
So, and eggs. So this is why I mentioned controversy at the beginning. They can be a little bit controversial because they will take, obviously, other endangered, you know, native birds or other native animals. They'll take lizards and other things that, you know, maybe we're trying to protect. There might be fewer of those than there are of the Western weka or whatever subspecies it is. So they can be a little bit controversial that way. There's a tension there around these native birds because of that behavior, but that's natural, of course. So the other behavior that we did definitely note in hospital, other than eating really well, which is good because it was underweight, was that it would just annihilate its enclosure every night, every day. I mean, we ended up putting it inside a zipped in soft, like a puppy playpen, but then we had to put that into a hard-sided enclosure because it, of course, figured out how to unzip the enclosure, the soft-sided one, so we had to keep it contained. But it would pull in the sides every night, pull in the sides of the soft pen. So just because it, I don't know, it just liked putting it in disorder, reordering it or whatever, and it would pull up its towels and all the soft bits, just make an absolute mess, slosh the water bowl over. Everything was just a mess and just was just relentless. And so that kohanga weka, that messy phrase, is definitely well earned. I don't know if it certainly must not do that every night in its own out in the wild. But yeah, that was pretty interesting. Definitely check out our Facebook page because we've got some great videos. We put trail cams up on the weka at night and to watch what it would do with the enclosure. And it's really something to behold. It looked so angry. But I think, it was just keeping itself busy while it was in hospital.
Well, yeah, if it's a smart animal, it's going to get bored quick.
That's right. Yep. So enrichment is important. So we didn't try to stop it. You know, we just tried to make sure it was safe, which is why we put that put it inside of a hard, you know, hard-sided enclosure so it couldn't get out. And it was actually otherwise a quite good patient. We'd never had a weka before, so this was learning curve for us as well. It never tried to bite us or kick us. So with those stout legs, kind of kiwi-like legs, we would expect the kicking, but it never did, which is great because they're pretty strong. And it was pretty chill patient otherwise. Didn't really ever make any noise. It didn't seem to fuss too much. It does help that it ate really well in hospital because then we didn't have to force feed it, which is nice, or tube feed it. It's almost ate a little bit too well. It basically nearly doubled its weight while it was in hospital. eventually, when it was getting close to the end, where we felt that the fracture was almost completely healed, we did send it out to our mate Alicia over at Dunedin Botanic Garden for a little bit of rehab, and she had an enclosure that was a bit larger so that it wasn't feeling so hampered by the space constraints at the wildlife hospital. Finally, at some point, even in rehab, even though it wasn't, you know, wouldn't say it was like 100% ready to go, it was probably 99% ready to go. It just got absolutely fed up with being in captivity, and we recognized, you know, at some point there's a detriment to being in hospital. So went, yep, you're good to go, back out to Fjordland. Did not look back, did not say thank you. The rangers released it, and off it went to steal somebody else's lunch.
Well, I don't know whether we should be concerned about the weka being here locally. That's another conversation, I suppose. But no doubt there is something of a population being re-established in this part of the world, I should say.
Yeah, it's really interesting. They don't tend to be on the east coast of the South Island much anyway. As you say, up north they are, further north on the South Island. But yeah, I'm not actually sure what sort of the population was like here pre-human. I don't know if there were a lot of weka in this area.
I heard that they were quite prolific out on the peninsula.
That's absolutely possible. Yeah, in which case I think that we probably shouldn't be taking them away from Dunedin, which is, I'm guessing, why Doc hasn't done anything about it in terms of removing them, because they are a part of the pre-human ecosystem here. I can appreciate why people would be worried about some of our fragile populations that we're just trying to reestablish, and that weka might disrupt them, but we've just got to find a way to make it work.
Well, so far they're suburban weka anyway. They're probably a match for any cat and possibly some dogs as well. Those would be the kind of concerns. You know, one would hope that you're not going to see injured weka from Dunedin coming your way, but I guess that's a possibility.
It's a possibility. I think I would suspect they'd be more likely to get hit by cars than anything else if they are in the suburbs. I like their chances against a cat because they are able to take stoats who are probably actively trying to kill them. I think any cat would be quite intimidated by a weka running full tilt at it, because it strikes me as something they would do, you know, swim towards the shark kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Dogs, that would be a concern as well, but probably cars would be my number one concern.
Well, watch this space. It's going to be interesting, isn't it? More stories probably to come our way about Dunedin weka, but great to hear about your patient and great to hear that this weka healed well enough to be back out in the bush, and that's where we want to see them too.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for joining us, Jordana. Great stories today.
Kia ora.
The Wildlife Hospital Dunedin treats sick and injured native New Zealand species right here in the heart of Aotearoa's wildlife capital. Their expert veterinary team patches up more than 500 patients every year, returning the majority of them back to the wild where they belong. You can learn more about the hospital, including ways to support this charitable trust, at wildlifehospitaldunedin.org.nz or follow their Facebook page for more fabulous creature content.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.